My top five podcasters, Chris Lambert, and probably myself, but this ain't about that. The Mundane Festival is where you're at. If you've been tapped in, you know what's up. If you're a first timer, hey, welcome to the club. The cost of admission is simply a subscription, then rating and reviewing it wherever you listen. Don't worry about change ups, the cast won't break up. Even when that $1 million contract show up, a stand up guy who's a stand up comedian with a stance on everything from food to media. So welcome to the show, please take your seat. Let's find out what he's got in store this week. Who, me? I'm Don Will, your opening act. Thanks for coming out. Please clap. The Mundane Festival. With your host, Chris Lambert.
Hey everybody, welcome back to another edition of the Mundane Festival podcast. I'm your host, Chris Lambert. Today is Sunday, January 23rd, 2022. Remember, as always, you can subscribe to the show on your favorite podcast listening apparatus. If you're really into this thing, go over to Apple Podcasts, give this show a 5-star review, let everybody know why you like it, because it's simply the right thing to do. And if you want to take your love and appreciation of this show to an even deeper level, go over to patreon.com/mundanefestival. Subscribe, $3 a month for hours and hours and hours of bonus content. This is episode 550. There's no guest. It's just me. I am in beautiful Prince George's County, Maryland, recording this from the family sitting room, I guess you would say. It's secluded off. My mother cannot bother me for at least a couple hours while I record, and I will have to endure her wrath once I'm done recording. So I really want to thank everybody who reached out to me on social media and the calls and the text about my dad, about me losing my best friend and my hero. I'm still pretty devastated, but each day gets a little better. Especially being in this house, I'm constantly reminded of him and the memories, because this is the house that I grew up in. And I just constantly think about him. I don't know if that ever goes away. We talked about death a lot on the show when it comes up, but it's just come up in conversation. And but never have I lost anybody this close. I mean, I've lost aunts, uncles, and grandparents. But when it's nothing like losing a parent, when you lose someone that was so close to you and we had a really good relationship. It I don't think it ever stops hurting, but I think you just kind of, some of the wounds heal, I guess. I don't know. But at any rate, I just want to thank everybody for the kind words. And sometimes getting messages from some people made me tear up. It's like, God, like I'd be feeling okay, and then I read somebody's message and I'm like, ah, man. Ugh. It was one like a couple days ago from somebody who's become a good friend in the podcast community, reached out, and it's just like, oh man, wow, that made me, ooh, that got me. And then just handling family business, choking up while I'm telling like some bank or somebody that my dad's dead, and and trying to like handle like business and stuff. But just constantly reminded of him, like going every time I go to the grocery store, I think about him, because that's where he worked at Shoppers Food Warehouse. And he worked at a couple of them when they would be building up the store. When they would open up, he'd go in and get the store ready and stuff and get it functioning with regards to like receiving and stuff like that. And then he would go back to, he'd just be all over the area, as we say, down here in PG County. And so I just like Yeah, just thinking about him and stuff like that. But it never, yeah, like I said, anyway. But thank you for everybody that reached out and the people that called. And it was really nice to know that people were thinking about me and I was in their thoughts and prayers. It's nothing anybody can do to make. I had some solace in it, I guess. That's what I'll say. I did have solace in that. And so I'm here for a little bit. This is the longest I've been home. This is as long as I've been home for a while. And it's interesting being back in Maryland for a long extended period, because you get to see how things are different in just different regions of the country, like how people get so excited and anxious over snow. I thought people did that in Jersey too. Like they, even pre-pandemic, people buying up all the milk and the bread for just a day and a half of weather being bad, if that. People are like, it seems like people down here are like doomsday preppers when it comes to buying stuff from the store. It's insane. I thought people in Jersey were bad, but people just wiped out the Black Wegmans. And what do they call that? That has to be, what is the Black Wegmans? Is that like, that's not Largo necessarily. I don't think it is. Wegmans near me. I think that's like, What does Google say it is? They say that's Lanham. It doesn't seem like Lanham to me. But that Woodmore, the Woodmore Town Center one was insane. And I taught my dad how to do Instacart last year. And he did well, because they would order groceries and stuff. And I noticed I've ordered Instacart before, and sometimes they substitute things and sometimes they don't have certain items. And I would notice how, like, the past year where my parents would complain about not getting all the groceries or them not having stuff, or it's like, well, it's just like, all those people, the shoppers don't care and blah, blah, blah. And I ordered Instacart one day, like a week or two ago. And I know it's like, they're subbing a lot. It was just from one grocery store in the hood. I'm not going to name the grocery store. And then I actually went to that grocery store to get some more things like that weekend, and the store was wiped out. And I think it's like some of it's COVID, but some of it's just like, I think it's the shipping stuff due to COVID. And that store just didn't have anything. And it was insane. Like, they didn't have, I was trying to get some chicken and they just had chicken wings, because I wanted to make some like baked chicken. Who cares what I wanted to make? But it just seems very like, it seems like when the pandemic just hit, like March, April 2020, they had nothing. And I was wondering, is that just because it's the hood plus COVID, or is it just because it's the hood? I don't know. But then I went to the Giant that's near my parents' place, and they had stuff. Yeah, they might have had stuff missing, but for the most part they had stuff. I think it was just that particular store. And then maybe I've never noticed this in Jersey, but BJ's and Sam's Club, the parking lot is always packed with people trying to get gas. And I don't know, that is gas that cheap at BJ's and Sam's, where people just are wrapped around like it's a gas crisis or something? Because gas is a lot cheaper here anyway, but people are constantly, like, I went to pick up a pizza from Lito's. Lito's pizza is really, really good, by the way, if you didn't know that. I don't know what people in PG County eat. We eat everything, I guess. They eat everything, but I don't know what the top pizza place is in this area. But Lito's is good, and they have like lemon pepper wings. There's one particular place that has lemon pepper wings, the one in the Ritchie Marlboro Plaza. Been to Lito's twice since I've been home. One, it was like in Southern Maryland, and I brought back, they didn't have any. And that was like, that was kind of like, it was kind of, it was a white owned establishment of Lito's. And then this one, I think the guy running the place was Indian, and there was Mexican people there, and they had the lemon pepper wings, and they are amazing. And I like how, I'm just going to be so random, but I don't know. Forgive me if I'm just all over the place. I'm just getting back into doing this podcasting thing. I might be a little rusty, but I like how when you go to Lito's, so you get your, you pay for your food and then you pick it up. And you know, when they open up the pizza box and it's like, they're opening up money. Like you're making you are making an exchange. It's almost like it's a drug exchange. Like it's an episode of Power or like Ozark or something. And they open it up and I was like, beautiful. And it is, it's a beautiful pie. It's a beautiful square pie. Like some of the most consistently good pizza that I've had in a long time. And the last couple times that my dad was alive, where I just remember it's like some of our best like meals would be from Lito's. Like we'd go, me and I, the last time we were together, we went to the store and got some groceries and then picked up some Lito's and had some wings. And that's what we would do a lot of times when I would come home. And when I was doing theater and stuff in at Mount St. Mary's, they would come out and we'd go to Outback Steakhouse after plays and stuff. That was like our family thing. And then like later in the past couple of years, it became like Lito's whenever I'd come home. We'd do, you know, do stuff like that. So, yeah, I had to go. He didn't want to service and he wanted to be cremated. And when I got back home a couple of weeks ago, I went down and picked up his ashes and got a pie and some wings for me and my mom. And I don't think I'll ever stop talking about him. I don't know. It's just weird because I don't really know what I said in that last episode. I don't know when I'll go back. I may go back to that and listen to it. But again, thanks for that. I don't know. I was randomly talking about people having paranoia about the snow. Like my mom was like, it's going to snow. I'm like, Mom, well, we have groceries. I spend tons of money on groceries and we have stuff in the freezer. If it snows, like it snows. It's nothing you can do. It's nothing you can do about nature. You can't stop nature. Because it's going to do what it's going to do. And if you don't have to be out there, don't be out there. It's not worth it. I've got a NFL countdown on mute. I haven't done one of these in a while where I have the TV on mute. Normally, like the past year and a half, 2 years, has just been me at my desk in my bedroom where there's no TV. And I didn't watch much football yesterday. I think I was getting like, I had the game. I had two phone calls from friends yesterday. So I did most of, I was talking to some friends and stuff on the phone. And I missed the Bengals Titans game. And that was pretty close. It was very close. The Bengals won by 3 and the Niners won by 3 against the Packers. I think I went to bed around that time, and I was watching Ozark before I went to bed, so I'd have missed the game. But I'm glad the Packers lost. I'm glad that Aaron Rodgers lost, so he won't have to worry about being vaccinated anymore to play. He can be fine. He can go on the Pat McAfee show or whatever show he goes on, and he can talk about Joe Biden. Some athletes, it's better if they just shut up and play. Some of them, like, he's like, because you don't know what you're talking about. I don't know when Aaron Rodgers became the dude that, like, he was like so smart. I don't know when he became that dude. I don't know if it was because he hosted Jeopardy or what, but it's like he's a great quarterback. He's an all-time great quarterback. I was listening to Bomani Jones on Back on the Record with Bob Costas, and he was talking about Curt Schilling, should he be a Hall of Famer? And some people were saying he was on the bubble and blah, blah, blah. But it's like, you don't have to, he's clearly racist and not maybe not a great guy, but he was a great pitcher and he probably should be in the Hall of Fame. People like equate this self-worth and the goodness in people based on how good of a athlete you are. Just because you're a great athlete doesn't mean that you're going to be, you're a great person, you know, like OJ, like Cosby was at comedy, you know, or like R. Kelly or anybody. Like, none of us are perfect, but some are better than others. Some are better than others. And some people, you know, they were talking about that on panel, like on, it was Howard Bryant, Dominique Foxworth, Bob Costas, and Bomani Jones. And they were talking about, Aaron Rodgers. Did they talk about Aaron? Like LeBron and all that? Like, LeBron seems to be a very nice guy with all the stuff that he's done, and but a certain takes that he has, like talking about the vaccination, is just like not it's like, dude, you have to have a better stance than that, and or you need to be more informed when you make proclamations or you make these social media posts, because a lot of people respect you. But in a lot of ways, I mean, that is it fair? No. But LeBron James has some of the most influence over young black men than most politicians. So it's like, if you're going to say something, be informed. But it's almost like, it's just like, it's, I don't know. It's okay when Aaron Rodgers doesn't have to deal with what LeBron has to deal with. It's not always fair, but based on the type of person that LeBron James appears to be, he appears to be a decent guy, a nice guy who's not trying to hurt anybody except when he's dunking on them. So it's like Dominique Foxworth said with that Spider-Man meme that he posted, you know, with great power comes great responsibility. So LeBron James has to be more mindful than Aaron Rodgers. But Aaron Rodgers, I'm glad you're out of the playoffs. We still have Patrick Mahomes left. So we're hopefully, that's going to be a good game. I hope it is. We got Patrick Mahomes going against the Bills today. And we got the Rams and the Buccaneers. So there's one hope for me. There's one black quarterback that's around. So I'm rooting for them. It should be fun. Playoffs seem pretty fun. I have not really cared about football in quite some time. Like I'm in it for the black quarterbacks. And that's pretty much it. But I have not been as that tapped in. And I guess this year it's been the play. Like, I haven't really had much time to really watch. I mean, I just figured out the last few months, within the last 3 to 5 months, that I could use the Fios mobile app so I could watch TV on my phone. And while we'd be in the green room during the play, like, I could have the games on. I could have Red Zone on and watch that while I'm waiting to go on and stuff. But that's pretty neat. But that's what I've done on Sundays, unless I'd watch it. Unless I had if I didn't have a movie to watch or something, I would just have Red Zone playing, and that's about it. But basketball, haven't been into, probably won't get into it until maybe the playoffs. I don't know. But if they're doing, I don't know. My schedule's been really crazy. I don't know. I'm rambling a bit, but I want to talk about a couple things. Like, I had some notes. So the play's over. Play ended on the second. And, you know, even with my dad passing away, it was time for that thing to be over. It just seemed like we got in everything under the wire. We didn't have to cancel any shows. There was one time while I was away for 3 days for like, I missed like three performances. And one of the main guys had to go down and couldn't finish one of the shows, but then he came back. And then, it was just certain people would get tested positive for COVID, and we have to do these take home tests and all this stuff. And it just started to get really bad after Omicron really started to spread after SantaCon. And I don't know if I talked about this on the show, but SantaCon is just this yearly thing where people do these bar crawls all over the city. And I guess they do, it's throughout the country. And I became familiar with it maybe a little after I started comedy, but I had never experienced it in Times Square, because a lot of the times where I would be around it would be, we would be getting like small effects of it. You'd be seeing drunk people in the East Village at like 10:30, 11 o'clock, where they would just be, it wouldn't be as crazy. There would be people acting like idiots, but it wouldn't be that bad. It seemed like it would be manageable. Like those people could get kicked out of the bar or something. But those are people that just may have been stragglers. But it wasn't until, you know, then you'd be doing a show or something. But it wasn't until doing this show, like, I guess that was early December. And it was on a weekend. It was on a Saturday. And it was just insane. It was a nightmare. People just going up and down. And then Hell's Kitchen, Times Square. Not so much Hell's Kitchen, but Times Square was just a shit show. And I have gotten on my Andy Rooney. Was it Andy Rooney that was on 60 Minutes? Andy Rooney. Yeah, I would be on my Andy Rooney just being this old guy complaining about stuff. But yeah, it was a nightmare. And just people, but you need those people for industry, for commerce and to keep things going. And these people are going to shows and stuff. But some of these people were just ridiculous, man. And it's just gotten really insane. And I'd be talking to some of these veteran guys who have done Broadway like more than once, who had been on Broadway several times and have performed in Times Square for years. And they were just like, I never seen it like this. People strung out. They're selling dope. Damn, I sound old as hell. Selling weed, selling dope. That's something my grandfather used to say. Selling, don't get into dope. It's like, all right, grandpa, I'm not going to get into dope. I don't even know what that is. I'm 9. It was just, you know, and it was just good to kind of be away from that. It's that weird juxtaposition of like living one of my childhood dreams and still just, I can't wait to get the fuck out of here. I can't wait to get out of here. I'd be walking around because I'm a big black dude. I'm walking around. I got my coat on. I got my beanie hat on, trying to keep warm. And there'd be these tourists that would be trying to run away from me, not run away from me, but just keep looking behind their back like I'm going to do something, when all I'm trying to do is get to my parking spot that I pay $520 a month to park there. And so I can get back to New Jersey and just get home. And that's another thing. The last day of the show, Sunday night. So we closed Sunday afternoon. We had a matinee and we closed and we had like a little party at this hotel and stuff. And we were having a great time seeing everybody kicking it. I was surprised that they even had a party, but we did one. I didn't get COVID. I don't think anybody else did. I hope not. Fingers crossed. I don't think nobody said anything about getting COVID. Anyway. So we had that, and I walked back to my car, and when I got to my parking spot, they're under new management. They switched management overnight. So the guys that were parking my car for 4 months since September were not there anymore. There was another set of guys, and they were like, oh, you're monthly. You got to fill out this application. I was like, nope. I'm already paid for. My stuff was prorated, and so I'm good. This is my last day. And then I looked on their new sign, and they were charging $600 a month. And I was like, oh, my God, this is – it was just time. You never want things to end, and I miss these people. I miss the checks. But, man, I do not miss the everything around it, you know. And God willing, hopefully, one day, maybe – I'll be back, but at the same time, having that experience, nobody can take that away from me. And it was fun being in that show with those people, and with the tight, even with the small part that I have had in the show, it was pretty fucking cool. And that was something that was just like my safe space. Within all the terrible shit that could go on in Times Square, like the terrible clusterfuck of Times Square, it was definitely a safe space. And my dad knew, well, he knew in 2020 that I booked that part. And I was thinking about that, where like he's always had this, but I'm looking at the TV that they bought a few years back, and he has one of my old headshots where I look like a bank manager. Oh no, I look like I actually look like a grocery store manager, like a black and white headshot of mine that I had gotten taken. And he kept that up, and he kept like another headshot of me when I was in grad school that he had. But he had this picture of me under in the on the TV stand, and he got to see me do some of the stuff that I did on TV. He got to watch all of that on his big ass TV that he got after he finally replaced the projection screen TV. My mom made him do it, and they got a nice TV, and he got to see me on a couple of shows and stuff. And that's pretty neat. And it's kind of good to get back in the swing of things with an audition. I auditioned for something, put something on tape with my manager. I got like a carved out a little nook where I can do that. That was good. It was good to work on something. I think anything that I've been able to do out, like to do stuff that I like doing, and it's been helpful to me. And I found out that I don't know if what's going to happen. And sorry, I don't know. My apologies in advance for the audio. I don't know how good the audio is going to be because I can't hear myself. I don't have my headphones that I would use and stuff. So probably once I run it through some filters and stuff, it'll be okay, and maybe you won't notice it. So I don't know, but I apologize in advance if there's some issues, and then apologies also for being away. I'm going to try to be more consistent. And Patreon folks, by the time you hear this, you will have your a bonus episode up. And so don't worry about that. And I appreciate all the new subscribers. I believe I thanked you guys last a week or two ago. It means a lot. And I appreciate the support. But it was good to just kind of get back to doing what I do. And I found out that there's something that I had read for early last month. And I, you know, usually if you audition, you submit your tape, and if you don't hear from them, you didn't get it. And so I submitted, and I had auditioned for this show, that was one of my, became later, late in his life, became one of his favorite shows. And and I remember telling him about it when he was in the hospital, and, he was like, oh, cool. I hope you get it. And that opportunity, it's a possibility that may come back. We'll see. But at least you kind of just have to have like in a lot of ways, I think I may have said this on the show before, but in a lot of ways, it's kind of like you do the audition, you hope you get it, but then you just kind of have to forget about it. And a lot of times I do, where it's just like, man, I did that part. I put everything I had into it. I hope I get it. And then the next day you're just like, okay. And then you kind of remember the day. If it's something that's really good, you kind of remember the dates when they shoot, and you're like, if they call me before this, then I got a chance. But if I don't hear anything, if they say they're shooting on January 24th and I haven't heard anything, I know if it's January 24th, I didn't get that shit. But now I don't really notice anymore. But it was kind of funny how that particular audition was like, the casting director, the casting folks were like, oh yeah, well, because of COVID, we had to push things back and we're reviewing everybody's tape for that role. And is Chris still available? I'm like, well, if you give me the fucking part, I'll be there. So that was pretty neat. And I told my manager, I was like, oh, that became one of my dad's favorite shows. So we'll see, we'll see what happens. But I wouldn't like to think that my dad died so I'd have a couple lines on this show that he liked and that I liked. And, but I hope it would be, I'm not going to say, but that's pretty neat. And then I found out there was a thing that I read for a few months back before the play started. I found out they gave it to a famous person. So it was almost like, oh, okay, I don't think I ever really had the chance unless that famous person said no. So I was just like, oh, okay. So it just made me not feel as bad. Where unless if they were going to try to break somebody, to break a new person, a new talent, and change somebody's life for the better, it would be neat. But they decided to go with somebody that maybe might not be a better actor than me, but it's more famous, whatever. So it's good to be back in the mix doing that. Comedy, I hope to be doing that pretty soon because I have some things to talk about. So it would be great. It would be great to get back to doing stand-up soon. They say that Omicron is kind of piecing out a little bit. It's kind of tapering off. It is past mid-January. We're almost we're in the last week of January, actually. The 24th, yeah. And then the 31st will be another week. It'll be anyway, we're almost done with January and things are tapering off. So hopefully more people will get vaccinated and there'll be less of this shit going around. So hopefully everybody gets vaccinated. There's some people I hear that are getting boosted and all that jazz. And I hope people continue to take note. This Jackass Forever movie was supposed to come out so many different times. Not that I'm interested in seeing it, but it just seems like that I've been seeing that trailer for a year and a half now. And I don't know when I haven't been to the movies. I don't know when I'll go back. I don't know. I heard Scream was okay, but there's nothing that I really want to see right now. There's some Sundance stuff that I wasn't quick. I think shout out to Jeff Cerulli. He gave me, there was a show that he couldn't make, so he gifted me one of his tickets, so I'll be able to watch a movie online. And Patreon folks, I'll tell you about it when I do. One of my favorite starlets is in it, and that's going to be fun. But then I was like, oh man, Koganada, the writer director of one of my favorite movies of the past 5 years, 6 years, past few years, this past decade, Columbus has a new movie that's, I believe it's premiering at Sundance. I'm not 100% sure. Might have premiered somewhere else before, but those tickets were sold out. So I'll see that eventually, but nothing that I'm really excited to see as of yet. I want to talk about a little bit of TV, and I want to talk about, I'll give you a movie review, and then I'll just let you get on with your lives. And video game wise, I haven't played anything in about a month. The last game that I was playing was Metroid Dread for the Nintendo Switch, and it's fantastic. I remember having the first one for the NES for the Nintendo, and I remember liking it. It was fun, but it was also kind of hard. I'm not sure that I beat that one, but I did beat the version for Game Boy that came out a couple years later, and I think that was, that might have been Metroid 2, I want to say. And I was telling people that I was talking to about this, like some of my friends that are gamers, and I was saying, like, you know, people were like, oh, you should get a Nintendo Switch. And I was like, well, Nintendo just makes games for kids. I don't really, the only game I could see myself playing would be the Zelda game, Breath of the Wild, which edged out Horizon Zero Dawn in 2017, I believe, to be Game of the Year. And it looks breathtaking. It looks fantastic. I ended up buying that. So this was a thing that triggered me to get Metroid Dread, to get a Switch. They had this OLED coming out. I wasn't able to get that one. If I'd have waited a couple weeks, I probably would have been able to get it at this mom and pop store. I might have told you guys about that in a previous episode that I did last year. But anyway, I saw the trailer for Metroid Dread, and I was like, oh. Because I was like, oh, Nintendo just makes stuff for kids. It's not that serious. And then I saw this Metroid Dread trailer. I was like, oh, shit, that looks amazing. And it's just it's a 2D scroller, but the details are great. The graphics are great. And it's a fun game. And it's funny how, like, the dudes that I know, like a Brian McGinnis, or I think it's mainly Brian McGinnis and maybe Matt Jenkins. Shout out to those dudes. And I was like, yeah, you know, I finally got a Switch. And I was, oh, what'd you get? I was like, Metroid Dread. And they was like, oh, dude, that's too hard. But I thought, like, Brian McGinnis was a guy that played everything and beat everything. I think if you're a dude that can beat Cuphead, I think you kind of know what you're doing. Like, because I call that game, I coined it. I called it Contra on acid. So if you ever hear anybody else say that, a couple people did that I've heard say it, but it is definitely Contra on acid. It's a beautiful game. Probably the artwork is fantastic, and they're making a TV show out of it, a cartoon out of it on Netflix. And it looks great, but I want to finish it. But I remember the last time that I played that game, I think I may have played it like late 2020, because it came out on PS4, and I bought it for the PC, and I bought it to play in the hotel when I was staying at the Borgata one time. I was gigging down there, and I bought it. I was like, man, this is hard. And then I bought it for the console. I bought it for PS4. Bought it for my PlayStation, and I played it so much, I hurt my hand. I hurt my thumb. Like, my thumb was literally sore. And that game, it's definitely a button masher. Not in the way that, like, a Spider-Man PS4 or Miles Morales is. You know, it hurt. Like, you're constantly pressing those buttons, man. I think Jeff Cerulli beat it. But I know Jeff beat it. I know McGinnis beat it. If you could play that game, Metroid Dread is hard, and I die a lot on that game, but I got pretty far. I'm like, maybe I'm halfway through, I guess, maybe, but I've gotten a lot of the power-ups and stuff, and it feels so rewarding when you make progress in that game, when you beat a boss and you get like up your levels, you get your what do you call it, when you level up and you get the secret items and all that crap. It is pretty fun, and it's rewarding when you do certain moves, and it's a fantastic game. I think it might have been a finalist for Game of the Year, so I need to get back into playing that. But I've just been like dealing with family stuff and taking care of some things and being a grown-up and stuff like that, but I hope to get back to that. I pre-ordered Horizon Forbidden West. I'm really excited about that one, because that other than the Last of Us franchise, that's been one of the best games. Like the Last of Us, Tomb Raider. I did like Uncharted, but I did enjoy that. But I would say, as far as a AAA title is concerned, that was one of the best I played in my life. That game was really good. It was very immersive. It's pretty epic. The fights are pretty epic. The battling with those machines and stuff like that is amazing. So I think they may have stolen some elements from Breath of the Wild with certain things that Aloy, the main character, can do. And it looks breathtaking. So I'm excited to play that. That's less than a month away. I hope I get a chance, because I hope I get some time to get into that. It'll be fun to play that one. So that's, as far as gaming is concerned, that's what I'm excited about. And haven't been listening to that much music. I've been listening to a lot of podcasts, like my friends and stuff, like the Three Guys On, Black Guy Who Tips, and Firestarter Crew. Like, I've been listening to that, and like NPR, Little Terry Gross. I don't know. I just kind of been listening to that. The music wise, though, I was telling one of my good friends last night, the only thing that I know to be excited about right now is Moonchild's new album that's coming out in next month. And I've heard maybe two or three records off that album, and it sounds great. It sounds like the stuff that I'm used to them doing. No, like, I'm used to them doing it, so it's fine. But just stylistically, it's like, oh, that sounds like them. That's another ring around the tree. You know, what do you call that? The insides of a tree, like the intricate rings around the trees. It's like they're building on their catalog. I like that. So, music wise, I am excited about that. Yeah, I think that's it about the Muzak. There's some Tiny Desk shows that I want to watch. I found out Esperanza Spalding has a new one that I want to listen to and watch and check out. But I haven't really been able to check. I have checked out some stuff, though. This season of Euphoria is pretty fun. I'm enjoying Euphoria. So much so that I went back and rewatched the first season, and stylistically they're doing stuff differently with the cinematography and making it look like the first episode of the premiere of season two, they did Fezco's backstory and talking about his grandmother and made it look like a 70s film, made it look kind of like Scorsese, or made it look a little Boogie Nights ish, a little P.T. Anderson vibe going, and but they kept it. I was like, oh, they're keeping it the same way. This looks great, and yeah, it's a little sensational. Like the homie JL was saying on his podcast, shout out to JL on Righteous Prick, like how this beautiful Sydney Sweeney is beautiful, but then it gets to a point where, like, the second episode, it's like, are they just like, is Sam Levinson just sexualizing this girl? Like, what is going on? Like, because she is a bad one. She is amazing. She's beautiful. And, you know, she's also really talented. She's a great actress. Like, there's a scene where she's talking to another, I don't want to spoil anything, but she's talking to another character. She and another character are talking in a truck. And he's talking, but the focus is on her face and just the way that her eyes are moving and the way she's looking and listening and taking everything in. It's just like, wow, she's incredible. So I hope that, you know, she gets to do more. I saw that movie Voyeurs, which was okay, like it's a nice thriller. And I didn't realize that she was naked like that in season one of Euphoria, but she's even more naked in season two. And it's just like, okay. But I mean, if you got it, flaunt it, you know, and she's okay with it. then I'm definitely okay with it. But she is beautiful, and she's also very talented. And I'm enjoying season two so far. I love Zendaya, and she's fantastic, but I don't care. I really don't care about her and Jules. It's going to be interesting to see what happens with this new kid that's on the show, Elliot. That's interesting, but the stuff that I'm more interested in, to be honest with you, I'm more interested in Cassie. I'm more interested in Lexi, the Judd Apatow's daughter. I really like seeing that relationship, the possible relationship with Fez and Lexi. I like that. Like, I'm interested in a lot of these ancillary characters because I don't know, Jules, and it's like Jules played she played Rue so hard at the end of season one and put her through all that. And it's like, okay, she's talking to this guy. You know, with Rue and Elliot probably will have something going on. There's something going on there, almost more than like friendship and stuff. And it's just like, oh, this is Elliot. And then Jules meets, and then she starts, or she walks away and starts crying. It's like, you don't get to do that just yet. I mean, you don't know what's going on between them. You can't just like, you can't be like that, you know? So I don't know. Now they're showing these this Horizon Forbidden West commercial. It looks amazing. It looks fantastic. Oh my God. So good. Yeah, so I'm enjoying Euphoria. Black Wonder Years. I've been watching that. I think I'm caught up. I'm mostly caught up. I think there's like one episode I need to watch and to get caught up. It's solid. It's a solid show. It's very black. Although they did have an episode where the kids went to a bar mitzvah because one of the characters is Jewish, and it takes place in the late 60s in Mobile, Alabama. And it is different to be a Southern Jew. It's an interesting episode that I had a conversation with a friend about. It's like, nothing bad, but it was just like, It was interesting, but it wasn't real. It was, yeah. I think it's a good show. I wish I could have auditioned to play the dad. I wish I could have been the dad in that. But it's a very it's actually very good. Fred Savage directs a bunch of episodes, so he has his blessing. I guess they would have done it with or without him, but. Robert Townsend did an episode. Matthew Cherry did an episode. Shiri Appleby from Roswell. Who is Molly McGlynn? What else did she do? Why does that name ring a bell? Oh, she did Mary Goes Round. She did the movie with Aya Cash, that friend of the podcast, Jess Salguero, had a role in. So that was okay, that's why that name rings a bell. All right. Toronto filmmaker. I mean, a Montreal filmmaker. It's a solid show. I recommend it. It's very pleasant. Yeah, it's good. It's one of those shows that's like, okay, this is pleasant. Nobody's gonna get, well, Martin Luther King, Pat dies. They do an episode where they respond to that, where people are really shaken up about that. And that was good. But nobody... and they deal with race. They deal with race in that show. But it's very pleasant. It's like how Keenan is pleasant. You know, like nobody's gonna get murdered, brutally murdered on a show like that. So you need these palate cleansers. I need palate cleansers when I watch some of these movies that I watch, and a show like Power, like where you wake up on Sunday morning, if you're not watching it when it hits the streaming app at midnight, you wake up before you get your breakfast, before you brush your teeth, and you watch these people rob and kill each other, and it's so good. I've been watching that too. I'm on season two of Ghost, Power Book Two, Ghost. It's good. It's fun. It's a lot of fun. So I've been watching that. Let's see, there's a couple other shows, and I'll give you a movie review, and we'll just get the hell out of here. Yellow Jackets on Showtime. The first season just ended. I do like it. You're telling me that Melanie Lynskey, who's become this actress who's been in a lot of like independent art house movies, kind of I would say she's kind of been a indie movie darling, just a fantastic actress, and she's been in these a lot of films, and she's become one of these people where, oh, she's in it, I'll watch it. I'll see what's up. So when I found out she was in it, Christina Ricci was in it, Juliette Lewis, I'm in. And it's a show about in 1996, this girls' soccer team out of New Jersey, they're going to a championship tournament in Seattle, and their plane crashes in the middle of nowhere, and they spend like 19 months on this land somewhere, and there's hints of cannibalism and them living like them being basically on some Lord of the Flies darker version of Lost and Gilligan's Island rolled into one. Not as funny as Gilligan's Island or Goofy, but, and then they flash forward to present day where some of them have made it, and you don't know how many, and they're dealing with their lives after that happened. So we've caught up with the adult versions of some, and then some we don't know if they lived or died. And it seems like it's a show, based on the finale, it's a show that they're going to stretch out for at least another season. And I hope they've learned from a show like Lost that they got to know what they're doing. You know, they kind of have, like, they call, it's not necessarily a script, but they call a show having a Bible, like having, like, we know what's going to happen to this character. We know how this is going to end, and we know what's going to happen. So hopefully they have a better idea of what to do than the creators of Lost. Like, I liked Lost. It was an enjoyable story with some really good actors on it, but it's like they just didn't know what they were doing with that show, and it showed. So I'm hoping that the creators have a sense of where they're going to make this a fun ride, because you got some really good actors on the show. So it would be in their best interest to try to really do these actors justice. But it's fun. It was definitely something to tune into, and I did enjoy it. I was with it. So I've watched that. Also, Station 11 and Yellow Jackets is on Showtime. Black Wonder Years, I call it. It's an ABC show, but you can watch it on Hulu. Euphoria obviously is HBO Max. This other show, Station 11, I finished that a couple weeks ago. Whenever the last episode was premiered on a Thursday a few weeks ago. And it's a show that's based on a novel by Emily St. John Mandel. And I believe the novel came out in 2014, right after The Last of Us came out. But there's no zombies in this. It's basically, I'm going to try to find like a, it'd be nice to find like a, okay, here we go. This is the Google blurb, the trusty, but not always best descriptions of a show, but they're reliable. Survivors of a devastating flu attempt to rebuild and reimagine the world anew while holding on to the best of what's been lost. This show, it stars Mackenzie Davis from Black Mirror, Halt and Catch Fire, and a number of other movies. The most recent Terminator film, Himesh Patel, who was in Yesterday. He was on Tenet, been in a couple other things. Those are two of the main actors on the show. I really enjoyed this. show. It may not be for everybody if you don't want to deal with people living in a pandemic that, you know, we ourselves are living through one. We've lost people through the pandemic. There's people that we couldn't, you know, see, like you couldn't see on a normal basis because of the pandemic. So if you do not, if you're not into it, I totally get it. But it is a good show. The thing that makes this show watchable for me, I almost don't want to say, because I don't want to spoil it and I don't want to put your expectations too high. And most of you will know what I'm talking about if you've seen it, but there's a relationship in the show that is the glue of everything. And I said this when I saw the finale, I said, and I tweeted this, folks, this might've been, what did I say here? I said, Station 11 only needed to do one thing by the finale for me to deem it a success. And they did it. There's one relationship in the show that's really great. It's really sweet. And whenever they went back to that, I wouldn't even say they went to that well, but whenever they focused on those characters, it was like, okay, this is what I can connect to. This is the heartbeat of the show. And that worked for me. And because that worked, I was just willing to kind of go with everything else. But if there was no resolution between those two characters, or there was not some resolve, I would have been really pissed. And it was successful. I say the show's like a B+. It's not the best thing you've ever seen, but it's good acting. It's very interesting, and it's one that you could, you know, kind of plow through if you don't have much to do. If you're not going anywhere, you're not doing anything. I kind of watched, I guess, you know, last December I watched the first three when they came out, because I'd been hearing things about it. I saw the trailer. Did it give me? If you know me, there were definitely some Last of Us vibes. No monsters or anything, but yeah, I just sort of appreciated it. I really enjoyed it. I dug it. But this main relationship was just like really terrific, and I really loved it. And yeah, I think you will too if you connect in that way. Let's do a movie. Let's talk about a movie, and we'll get the hell out of here. The Tragedy of Macbeth, starring Denzel Washington and Frances McDormand, directed by Joel Coen, one of the Coen brothers. Let's see. Let's read the Google blurb. A Scottish lord becomes convinced by a trio of witches that he will become the next king of Scotland. His ambitious wife will do anything to support him in his plans of seizing power. I really dug it. It was, you know, I had never gotten the chance to see Denzel perform on Broadway, and I think he played Brutus in Julius Caesar. He's done a few Shakespeare productions on Broadway, I believe. It's almost like Fences, where you know Denzel's great, and seeing Fences for the first time was like, Rod and I talked about this a lot, how, and I talked about this with Randolph, how, oh, Denzel has another gear that I didn't know about. And where he like just kind of transcended, you know, that role, and just kind of just where he just was just living in it. And it was just really good. It wasn't just like, oh, Denzel, the superstar, he's just resting off of this one thing, just resting off of his charisma. Even though Troy Maxson is a very charismatic character, he wasn't just resting on his laurels. He was just pushing something. Just so many intangibles were coming out, where it's just like, God, wow, he's great. He should have won that year. And then seeing him do this, seeing him become Macbeth was just like a masterclass. And the way that he, because, you know, he did, if there's an interview that he did on, oh my God, Colbert, and where him and Colbert, just look for Denzel talking about Macbeth with Colbert. It was really fun. And I found myself just smiling giddily smiling at this exchange between the two of them. And then there was an interview that he did on Kimmel where, you know, he brought, oh, well, people understand it because of this elevated language. But it's like Shakespeare is for, in his time, it was for the people. It was for the common folk, where you would have the elitist, the elite class, the dignitaries. They would be up in the balcony watching the show. And then you'd have the groundlings, the everyday people, the plebeians, the average people, watching the show on the floor, and you'd have to appeal to them. The writing had, the text had to appeal to them, and it was the language of common folk. To us now, it seems elevated, and I think JL made a great point when he talked about it a couple weeks ago. We're just saying, like, oh, you know, you kind of would like to read along so you would make sure you're understanding the text. And like, and having footnotes. I don't remember which version he recommended, but there was a, that we used it in grad school. I believe it was the Riverside Shakespeare edition with all of his work. Yeah, it was the Riverside Shakespeare edition, and we had that. I got it somewhere. It's somewhere in my apartment, where it has all the plays and all the footnotes and everything that the words meant. And I think it had all of his plays and all of his sonnets too. I want to say it did. I'm not 100% sure, but I'm looking at it now. But, you know, yeah, when you would start listening to it, you would understand. And Denzel even said, he's like a guy that was, he was basically, I'm paraphrasing, but he's like, what's the show, the play about, the movie about? It's like a guy that felt like he's been wronged and he's trying to take over. He's trying to take it back, take what's his. The way that he does it is not right. It's called the tragedy of Macbeth for a reason, but it was just really cool. Every actor got busy, but it's Denzel's show. It's Denzel and Francis's show, mainly Denzel's show. And it was so cool to hear him thither his way through that movie. And it wasn't anything that seemed like it was hard for him, like it would be, but it was so cool. I didn't know how much I was going to really, if I was in a place to watch it, but when I locked into it, I'll probably eventually watch it again. But I was afraid because I kind of, you know, Will Smith, you know, I love Will Smith too. And I was kind of afraid when I saw this movie. I was like, oh, well, you know, I feel like it's Will Smith's turn for this, for him playing Richard Williams and doing King Richard. It's like, ah, he's got a shot. But then it's like, I haven't seen Denzel yet. We don't know what this is going to look like. We don't know what Macbeth is going to look like, you know. So, you know, that being said, if he did win, I wouldn't be surprised. You know, I would feel bad for Will Smith, you know, even though both of these dudes are millionaires. But, you know, you can kind of root for a guy. I love both of them. But it was, I just got such a kick out of seeing him do that role. Because I haven't gotten the chance to see him do live theater and stuff like that. And he was just talking about some of the technical things that they did. And he just made it. He was like, well, it's not that hard. He's like, oh, it's not hard. You know, it's just, yeah, it was so cool. I really enjoyed it. And I'm not trying to sound like, cause I understand it because I have a master's degree and I went to, no, I looked some stuff up. I've done like only one Shakespeare production. I did a production of The Merchant of Venice that like five or six people came to, and this church house in Chicago, this church and old church in Chicago was awesome. Probably one of the best. Some of those experiences are just like some of the best I've ever had as an actor. And there wasn't any like big time thing attached to it. It was just an awesome experience with the guy that directed the show was one of my classmates in grad school. And it was cool that he cast me in his show and thought enough of me that I could, you know, do the role. And it was fun. I played Graziano in The Merchant of Venice. That was fun. It had a fro. had my beard out, had a thick beard going, and it was fucking fun. You know, you're supposed to let your facial hair grow. I think it's almost like it's an unspoken thing, like you let your facial hair grow when you're if you're a dude and you're doing Shakespeare. I don't know what ladies do when they do Shakespeare, but whatever. It's kind of like a guy thing when you let your hair grow, something like that. And I thought Denzel killed it. I thought Francis killed it. Everybody was great. One of the cool, I don't want to spoil anything, but one of the cooler fights that I've seen Denzel in. And I'm not talking about the last one. I'm talking about, it was relatively short, but it was so cool. I don't think I've ever seen Denzel fight with a sword. I don't think I've ever seen him in fight with a sword or anything. He's always been like kind of shooting people if he had to. Yeah, some cool sword play in this one. Yeah, so I recommend it. I recommend The Tragedy of Macbeth. It's on in theaters and it's on Apple TV Plus. Apple TV Plus is kind of going kind of strong. They're kind of strong with some of their stuff. There's some things that I haven't seen. Like, I liked Swagger. That was fun. I liked Physical. I have not watched the Will Ferrell, Paul Rudd show. Servant, I watched the first season of that I thought was good. There's quite a few shows on there that I was impressed by. Defending Jacob was another one with Chris Pine. That's not Chris Pine. Oh my God, Captain Who? That is so bad. I'm getting old. Oh my, who plays Captain America? That is so bad. Chris Evans. Yeah, Chris Evans. I was talking about Chris Pine with someone yesterday, talking about Hell or High Water. So that's probably why I was thinking Chris Pine, but. Yeah, I highly recommend The Tragedy of Macbeth. And if you're thinking about getting Apple TV Plus, you should. It's good. I think I'm paying like $5 or $6 a month. But all this stuff is just adds up. All these channels just add up, and people tell you to drop cable and all this stuff. It's pretty. I don't know. It's hard. It's hard because Peacock is starting to have some interesting stuff too. So I don't know, guys. I think that is it. That's enough of me blabbing. I know I rambled a lot, but I'm back and it'll get better. The show will get better and things will get better. So I really appreciate you listening. I'm going to try to be more consistent with the show. And thank you for those who have stuck with me. So thanks for listening, and I will talk to you next time. Take it easy.